A very good morning to each and every one of you. Thank you for taking the time and to join this worship service. I believe, you know, you have been experiencing God's goodness and God's presence in a very wonderful, amazing ways. Now, many of us could testify, right? Testify that God has been working in our lives. Things that's beyond our control, but God is in control of everything because God is still sovereign and He continues to do amazing things in our life. And we just praise God for who God is. Today we want to look on 2 Chronicles chapter 20 on the life of this great man called Jehoshaphat, a man who was so faithful, a man who was right in the sight of God, and because of his faith, because of his hope and his confidence in God, and God was able to do amazing things in his life. And so today I want to look at the theme called Be Still and Know That I Am God. Let's pray. Father, we want to know that you are our God, a God that we will know that will do great and wonderful things in our life. And so, Lord, help us to trust you. Help us, Lord, to look to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, the passage that we just read today, it's about this great king called Jehoshaphat. And he was a very wise king, a very powerful guy. He spent his days building the walls and fortress of Jerusalem and just building up an impressive army. He also invested a lot of his energy in building up the spiritual, moral strongholds of his people. He was a great person who followed God and he was faithful in his walk with God. It is not always easy to be God-honoring, you know. It's easier to be God-honoring when life is good, when life is great, when things are always good to our side. But it is in times of overwhelming distress, it is in times of difficulties that a person's true character is tested. I believe sometimes we tend to ask ourselves, why? Why did God allow this? Why did He do this? Why? And we keep on asking. Jehoshaphat went through a difficult or challenging time in his life. But God was so faithful. And this man was also faithful because he knew his God. He knew that this God can be trusted, my friend. And we realize that Jehoshaphat, at the end, he glorified God and praised Him. You know, when we are in a difficult situation, we try to do whatever that is possible. You know, to some extent, it is good. But in this situation, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17, you know, this is the word that Jehoshaphat is hearing, you know. And the word says, you will not have to fight this battle. Can you imagine these three great armies are coming, invading his people, the people that Jehoshaphat was, you know, preparing, protecting, guarding. And they are just coming against. And this Jehoshaphat was also a powerful king. But the word of God was so powerful and God says, you will not have to fight this battle. He says, take up your position, stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid, the word of God says. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow and the Lord will be with you. You know, there are certain times, you know, God wants us to face the battles. He gives us the needed strength. But there are moments in our life that the Lord says, just be still. And He says, just trust me. Because I know, you know, I know. And in these circumstances, the Lord says, this is my battle. And a couple of things that we learn from this particular man, you know, and I believe in even in our lives too, you know, it is important for us to just trust God. And the first thing, you know, Joseph had did in the passage, you know, he just prayed. The first thing, he just prayed. He came to God. He could have, you know, he came to God and said, Lord, this is, you know, we are powerless. We do not know what to do. You know, Joseph could have easily said, you know, I'm a great king. I'm a powerful king. You know, maybe I should face this battle. But he knew that, you know, through God's word, that it is God's battle. And so what's happening here, you know, he says, he comes to God and he says, Lord, we are powerless. And he pleads with him. Now, very interestingly, when you look at the passage, you know, he's not just standing alone in the sight of God, but the passage also says that he came together with the people and they were praying together. He just prayed to God, together with his people. I was just trying to imagine, you know, the scenario. You know, people from Judah, women, men, little children, young people, just filling up the entire place, the courtyard in the temple of Jerusalem. You know, the temple was God's palace. You know, what a powerful scene. The multitude of people were there. And they were just praying. The enemies were just coming. The invading army was just coming against them. And these people were just praying. And Joseph was saying, Lord, we are depending upon you. We do not know what to do. But our eyes are on you. One of the great things that we learn, it's, you know, he's praying together. In 2 Chronicles, you'll realize, you know, in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, you see, you know, the whole assembly of Israel was standing there just praying together. I believe, you know, there are times that God wants us to pray as a family, to pray as church, to pray together in our small groups, to pray as a nation. Because when you look at scriptures very carefully, you know, we see the amazing results of believers praying together when they come into in agreement for various needs. In Acts chapter 12, verse 5, when you read when Peter was in prison, the church prayed together. The church came and prayed earnestly. And the angel of the Lord was there to lead Peter out of the prison. I think we need to have that spirit again. The spirit of not praying alone itself. It's wonderful to pray alone. We need to have a time with God. There are moments that God wants us to come together as families, as people who love Him. And let's look at the way, you know, Joseph was praying. Right? When you look at the passage very carefully in verse 6, you know, he says, he looks at God and says, Lord, he praises God. He initiates by praise. He praises God for who God is. And he says, Thou art not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations. And he says, Power and might are in thy hand, and there is no one can stand against thee. He praises God. He sees that his God is a great God. And then in verse 7, you see, secondly, he looks at the attributes of God. He remembers the things that God has done in the past. He says, Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? You know, so he remembers the goodness of God, the many battles that God has won for them. Lastly, you know, he tells God his problem, his need. He says in verse 10 and 11, he says, Lord, and this is our problem. He says, we are powerless before this great multitude. Who's coming against us, Lord. And so we do not know what to do. And we need you to help us. Prayer is important, my friend. Prayer is acknowledging our limitations. It's acknowledging that we are human. We need God's power. We need God's intervention in our life. And the passage also says they were praying and fasting, and they were just coming together by denying food. And they were just fasting in prayer. Let me encourage you and challenge you, right, to pray together with fasting. Because in Matthew 17, 21, you realize that the disciples inquired why, you know, they were unable to cast out the demon. And Jesus replied, this kind goes out, but by prayer and fasting. But the early church was sending, you know, the apostles out in Acts chapter 13, 2 and 3, you know, you realize the church was praying and fasting, my friend. There is power in prayer and fasting. Now, secondly, you know, not only he says, you know, let's pray. You know, secondly, we realize we just watch. In verse 17, when the prophet was saying these words, and these are the words, and he says, you will not have to fight this battle. You need not have to fight this battle. The prophet says, you know, just take up your position, because just stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. He further emphasizes by saying, you know, the battle is not yours, but God's. In other words, he's saying, you know, it's God who's going to fight the battle for you. Yes, there are moments, you know, God wants us to fight the battle, and he will give us the needed strength, and he will be there. But there are moments that God says, now I want to fight the battle for you. Can you imagine? They need not need to fight, and God is going to fight the battle for them. They need to be just standing still, you know, just standing and just looking at God. And see what God is going to do and how he's going to help them in this battle. There are moments in our life that God wants us to just give it to him. There are moments that, you know, God says, just give it to me, because I know what needs to be done. I know how to fight a battle. I know how to deal with your problems. I know how to help you. I know how to heal you. God says, just give it to me, because this battle is mine. As human beings, you know, many a times we want to take control of everything. We want to be found busy. We want to be doing. Yes, there are moments that God wants us, you know, with his help. But there are moments God says, just give it to me. Just give it to me. There are many things beyond our control, my friend. Just give it to me. I realized, you know, when David was a young man, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 47, David used the same phrase, right? He says, the battle belongs to the Lord. But David went to fight Goliath, and God was with him. In Psalm 24, 8, the psalmist says, the Lord is a mighty warrior in battle, and he is with you. And Ezekiel, right, you read Ezekiel saying these words in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 8. He says, with him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our help, to help us and to fight our battles. There are moments that God will give us the strength, but there are moments that God says, you know, just give it to me and have faith. Thirdly, when you look at the passage very carefully, he says, just worship. What's our role? Just watch, just pray, and just worship. And that's what God wants us to do. Can you imagine the invading armies were just coming? They were just close. But because of what God has said, you know, Jehoshaphat and his people were worshipping. If you read verses 18 to 21, realize, you know, they were just worshipping God. Jehoshaphat bows down low with his face to the ground, right? Can you imagine this scene? And then the entire whole nation joins him. They're laying prostrate in the sight of God, and they were just worshipping him, my friend. They were just giving thanks to God because his faithful love lasts forever. And it also says, you know, and they broke into joyful song and praise. And the Lord launched a surprise attack against the enemy. Can you imagine worshiping God in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of a calamity, in the midst of challenges, in the midst of, you know, pain and struggles in our life? Worshiping God, and that was what God wanted to do. Because when we worship, you know, what is happening here, my friend? Worship, we are saying, Lord, you are a great God. You are powerful, right? Worship is an expression of God's holiness, goodness, and power. And worship is also a way to express our love for God. Worship is not just, you know, a merely emotional excitement, my friend. It's not a time for emotional excitement. Real worship is, you know, when we say true worship, it's a matter of the heart. Right? And we just see God as the King, the Lord. And it's also a matter of our heart that is expressed through a lifestyle of holiness. Lastly, you know, when you look at the passage very carefully, you know, verses 22 to 30, when you read, you know, God wants them to just wait. Just wait. Not to just idle around, but just wait with hope and faith and wait for victory. And verses 30 onwards, 22nd onwards, you realize, you know, what was happening. The Lord caused the armies of the Ammon, the Moab, and the three armies to fight among themselves. And so when the army of Judah came, right, what they said, they saw dead bodies. They just saw dead bodies. And just God was fighting, and God said, you just wait. You just wait. There are moments in our life when God wants us to wait. But we live in a world, in an age and time, we want things to be done instantly. It's difficult for us to exercise patience, right? We want things done fast, quick. Yes, there are good things when you do things, but there are moments in our life that God wants us to wait. Because He is fighting the battle, my friend. We need to wait in faith, wait with hope, wait knowing that God is in control, and wait because victory is coming. Today, we need to ask ourselves, are we strong enough to face the uncertainty, right? And say, Lord, I just wait. Let me share a story with you as a way of conclusion. It's about one man who wanted to challenge another person in an all-day wood chopping contest. They wanted to see, you know, which person was able to cut more wood. So the challenger worked very hard, you know. The challenger, he worked very hard, and he was just stopping only for a brief lunch break. He was just working hard, and only for a brief lunch break, he was just taking a break. Whereas the other man, you know, had a lunch, probably an extended lunch, and took several breaks during the day. So at the end of the day, you know, the challenger was surprised, and not only surprised, he was annoyed to find out that the other man, the other fellow, had chopped substantially more wood than he had. And so the challenger said, you know, I don't get it. How did he do that? Because every time I checked on you, you were taking a rest. You chopped, but you chopped more wood than I did. So the winning man told this challenger, but you didn't notice something, that I was sharpening my axe when I sat down to rest. I was sharpening my axe when I was sitting down to rest. Dear friends, you know, there are moments in our life that, you know, God wants to fight the battle for us. But God says, just pray. Sharpen your prayer life. The Lord says, just watch. Have more faith. Just worship. Come much more closer. Look at my greatness. See how great I am. And just watch, because God will win the battle for us. William Arthur Ward beautifully says, you know, when people face situations, he says, the pessimist complains about the wind. The optimist expects it to change. Whereas the realist adjusts the sails. Maybe God wants us to adjust our sails. How's our prayer life today? Maybe God wants us to adjust our sails. How's our faith today? Maybe God wants us to set our sails in such a way that we have more faith. We have more patience. We worship God. We see His greatness. And so, my friend, if you have problems like what Joseph had, let me encourage you, let me challenge you, you know, take it to God to prayer. Maybe God wants us to fast and pray. Just watch, because God will fight the battle. And have faith. Don't forget to worship. Honor Him daily. See His greatness and His wonder. Let me tell you, you'll be glad. Because you will see victory. Because God always wins battles, my friend. We want to take the communion. The communion is a reminder that God has already won the battle for us. He has won Satan. He has won death. He has won the sins of this world for you and I, my friend. And so He says, just worship me. Just come to me. Just enjoy me. And just watch, because you will see how wonderful, how great I am in your life. As we prepare ourselves for communion, let me read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Paul writes to the church and he reminds the importance of love, and he also reminds them the love of God that has been revealed to them. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, he says, "For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.' For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We proclaim the victorious death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of Christ, my friend, we can live a life victorious. We can live a life of peace, and we can live a life of hope. Let's take a moment to quieten ourselves in the sight of God as we come together as one body to have fellowship and to have communion with God. The body of Christ given for us. And we thank God. Let's partake. The blood of the new covenant. We thank God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you, Lord, for your promises. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that we can always trust you. We thank you for this communion. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen.